On the text line, if Manly play in Melbourne in the grand final, I will still hate Manly, says Stu from Cronulla. There's also another one there saying Manly v Storm. Yuck, I won't watch it. The question there is, if it ends up Manly and they're in and they're not your team, are you willing to support them? And who are you willing to support if your team isn't part of grand final week in a couple of weeks' time? Plenty to chat through. As we're down to the final four, Sports Day New South Wales co-host Scotty Sattler will be calling the Melbourne-Penrith match with Mark Braybrook and Gary Belcher right here on SEN. So that coverage will start on Saturday from 3 o'clock, and it's always great to do the Thursday game plan with Sats. Good morning to you, mate. Before we hook into the issues at hand, if you could piece together a perfect pairing, your 6 and your 7, who would it be?
Oh, good question. Great question, Matty. Well, I think we're fortunate enough footy fans to see my preferred 6 and 7 play together at international level. And, I thought Joey Johns was... So I thought Darren Lockyer was to play against was the one that gave me the most nightmares. And I'd find myself going down and kick chase when he's playing fullback, and I'd actually stargaze him. I'd watch him run across the field. I'd say, oh, how good does he look? How athletic is he? Then I realised I had to try and tackle him. But when he moved up into the 5'8" position, you know, he got a golden boot as well. And both he and Joey were fortunate enough to play representative footy together. So if I had a 6 and 7, I'd go Joey at 7 and Lockie at 6, because Lockie would just allow Joey to do what he had to do. And then when he wanted the ball, he'd demand it and Joey would give it to him. So, yeah, we're pretty fortunate to see both of those play together.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fair old pairing. Got plenty coming through on the text line. Thurston and Kenny, for sure, says Lordy. Cronk and Thurston. So Cronk at 7, of course. Thurston at 6.
My dad, and I love sitting there listening to the history of the game and have so for many years. And we were talking about these great 7 and 6 combinations. Yeah, Langer, Lewis, and Sterling and Kenny. And my dad used to always say, line them all up against Billy Smith and Brian Popper Clay from the 60s, the great Dragon sides. He says, they would match both of all of them.
That's the thing, Sats, isn't it? Because, you know, in our era, you're right, we've had so many great, talented people come through and talented halves come through the game. And then you get a couple thrown at you from yesteryear and you go digging and you go in search and you hear the stories. And you're obviously very lucky your dad can relay them to you. But you hear those stories and you go, oh, I can just picture them almost in black and white. Mm. But this came off the back of when you take a look at the four matchups that we've got. And the halves pairing, obviously, in particular, at Souths, Walker and Reynolds, incredible. Foran and Cherry Evans at Manly, the old firm. Melbourne, Munster and Hughes, been there, done that, and so much pressure on Luai and Cleary. We are pretty blessed at the 6 and 7 at this stage of the season to have that kind of talent and those kind of storylines. Before we hook into the finals, can I get your finishing judgment, if you like, on the West Tigers saga? Is it finally behind us? We know now that Michael Maguire has saved his job. How did you see all that play out?
It was unfortunate the way that played out, but it was something that indeed needed to happen. There needed to be quite a thorough review, and we don't know how thorough the review was, but in saying that, I'm glad that Michael Maguire has kept his job. I've said for many years I'm a huge Michael Maguire fan for a number of reasons. He would be a coach that I feel as though I would have really enjoyed playing for. You know, just the work ethic that he puts into his players and the care he's got for his players. And I'm glad that he's kept his job, Matty, because you know, the roadmap moving forward was always about bringing Tim Sheens in. And both he and Michael Maguire have got a great relationship. They were together at Canberra when Michael was a young player and Tim was a coach. And that was always going to be the roadmap moving forward. They'd identified that they needed to add a piece to the puzzle, and they'd already put that in place, so why not let it play out and see how it does play in 2022? And if it's not working, well, they need to look at maybe going another way, because at times I think Michael Maguire's not suited for the West Tigers, not because of his coaching style, I think because of the lack of resilience amongst that playing group are probably not suited to his style of coaching, but there would be clubs that would be suited to his style of coaching. So I don't think we've seen the last of it, Matty, to be quite honest. I think the review will continue internally in relation to, you know, some of the, maybe the operational positions.
So recruitment, I mean, it's going to be a really important off-season for the West Tigers, and now they've got all their ducks just about in a row. Recruitment is going to be massive for them, because that's what everybody's been saying, and that's what Maguire's been saying, I need the cattle. How much do you think the club's got a black eye at the way that it handled this in terms of players and player managers looking at the club going forward? So if you've got a player on your books, do you now look at the Tigers a little bit differently, or do you say every club's going to go through it, they've been through it, now I could possibly place a player there?
Well, what you've got to do first and foremost, which has brought a lot of clubs undone, Matty, we talk about there's not enough depth in the competition, which I've never really bought into. You know, some clubs have been guilty of aligning themselves to individual player managers, and that means being able to take a lot of their players into their playing group, into their NRL playing squad. And what it does do, it unfortunately forces a potential player out, because you're bringing another player in. I'll give you an example. If you want player A, you really want player A, we'll give you player A, but you've got to take these two or three other players out of here that I can't get a club. So you'll take them at minimum wage. They're going to make up part of your top 30 or top 33, including development players. And what it does do, it has the ability to weaken your playing group. So clubs have got to be really conscious of not getting into that scenario, those agreements with player managers. And outside of that as well, the person that's selling your club is really important. When you're trying to entertain a potential marquee player, or not even a marquee player, a real key player that you're trying to identify through the way you do identify players, whether statistically or whether they've been recommended by someone else, whatever it may be, the person that gets in front of that player from the very first instance has got to be a really good salesperson. They've got to sell the dream. And now I don't know who does that for the West Tigers, and I'm not laying blame on anyone because I don't know who that person is, but whoever that is has got to be able to paint a picture that club has got a really good future ahead of it. And for whatever reason, that's not happening at the West Tigers. So they need to fix up that quickly and swiftly if they're going to find success in the next couple of seasons.
Well, unfortunately, I think what they demonstrated over the coaching saga was that they don't have the ability at the moment to move quickly and swiftly. So that's going to be one thing that they will certainly have to change.
Clubs like the Melbourne Storm do. You know, when you've got success, you've got the ability to take time. You can play the long game. Because if I'm a player and I've got the West Tigers interested in me and I've got Melbourne interested in me, I'm going to hold off the West Tigers as long as I can, because Melbourne is a club at the moment that I really want to try and entertain and go to. So the really good clubs have done it really well for a number of years. So they can play the long game. They can do all their research, all their due diligence on the player, the welfare of the player, the background, his family, upbringing, whatever it may be. And that's why they get it right. They use that success to their advantage. And whereas, you know, clubs like the West Tigers and the Gold Coast and those sort of clubs in the past have really tried to act swiftly and sometimes play their hand too quickly. So that's why the person selling the club's got to be really important.
Yep, front and centre. Let's move on to tomorrow night. So we've got the Rabbitohs versus the Seagulls. I pointed out a couple of the incredible storylines already in this one. Where does this match come down to? Is it one in the coach's box? Is it one in the halves? Is it one in the forwards, or a combination thereof?
It's a combination thereof. Yeah, you've got two really astute coaches, haven't you, Matty? You know, Desi, who doesn't give much away. You've got Wayne Bennett, who's just a master. You know, he reminds you of a really good horse trainer, doesn't he? Where he just gets ready for the spring carnival. He just gets all his horses ready for the spring carnival, and they come down the straight, and invariably they win a lot of their games. And so we're so relying on Melbourne for their key players to stand up like they did last week, and you need them in big games. Your big players, what I call your trigger players, your clutch players, they're the ones that have got to stand up in big games. And the clubs that have got the most amount of clutch players, those threat players, those trigger players, at the Melbourne Storm, I count about 9 or 10 of them in their side. Manly probably got about 3 or 4. And last week, the three big ones, Jake, Tom and Daly Cherry, even stood up. So they've got to do it again. And when you go closer to a grand final, you've got to be asked to find something extra than what you found the week before. So trying to nullify Tommy, you know, there was a bit of a blueprint a couple of weeks ago by Melbourne by kicking the ball along the ground and making him having the big 6'5" frame. You have to bend over it, stand still, bend over, pick up the ball without any momentum. Your kicking game is really important. All those boring statistics in rugby league. But in what it does come down to is it comes down to the way that each of these coaches prepare their side. And when you look at the success of both these coaches, they've had plenty of it. Even Desi, the amount of grand finals he's taken teams to, and even the ones that he hasn't won. So, but Wayne Bennett just has a sense of calmness about him, and at this time of the year. So, yeah, I feel as though that without Latrell, it's really going to, again, one step closer to the grand final. You need those key players. Without him, it's going to expose them even greater. But even though they've got a great defensive record, South, I still see this scoreline being something like 28-26, Matty. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. And I think South end up making their way through to a grand final.
All right, I'll put you in for South. So I think you're right. I think there's points to be scored here, but it's going to end up tight. As you try and map it out, you can see points coming, but it's going to go down to the wire. And then a quick one. So Storm v Panthers, you'll be calling this one on Saturday afternoon. Do you see the Storm going through again?
You never want to give a sucker an even break. And when you give the Melbourne Storm a week off, and then they get a chance to sit back and just get their little niggling injuries right, and then you sit back and watch Penrith and Parramatta go at it for 80 really torrid minutes, and then you say, righto, Josh Adokar, you're ready to come back in now. They've got all their cylinders firing at the moment, and then they've got one of the greatest coaches we've ever seen. Then you've got Penrith, who many are saying that they might have a lot of energy left in their tank after two really torrid battles, bruising battles. But I look at it as the Penrith will be, I think they'll be battle-hardened, to be quite honest. Yeah, they're not fluent in attack at the moment, but what you've got to do with Melbourne, you've got to be willing to go toe-to-toe for long periods of time. They proved last week that they can do that, Penrith. Will they have enough left in them to beat Melbourne? Probably not. I think Melbourne, with the week off, they're sitting nicely. So, I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored, Matty, and I just think because they're a little bit healthier, Melbourne, unfortunately, as much as I hate to say, I think Melbourne will get over the top of my old team. I think we'll see Bellamy, who gave Bellamy his very first sort of first NRL head coaching job when he was at the Brisbane Broncos, go up against each other in a grand final.
Yep, Bennett v Bellamy. If it turns out that way, storylines galore. Good on you, mate. Enjoy this weekend. Good calling for the Melbourne Panthers match. Enjoy it and enjoy the finals. We'll catch up again next week.
Thanks, Matty.
Sports Day New South Wales co-host Scott Sattler, of course, calling that match right here on SEN. Coverage starts at 3 o'clock on Saturday. You'll catch all of the footy action across our network right here. It's time for the 9:30 news.